Today's first scripture reading continues the saga of Moses with the well-known story of the people creating an idol in the form of a golden calf. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Well, take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." Aaron took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then the people said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. And afterward they sat down to eat and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. And then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky.'" And then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Our second Bible reading comes from the end of the first chapter and the beginning of the second chapter of the New Testament letter called 1 John.
"If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar out of God and his word is not in us. I am writing this to you, my children, so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven, and not our sins only, but also the sins of everyone."
Well, I'm glad that Major League Baseball has figured out a way to be able to play America's game during this pandemic. Because with baseball fresh in your mind, you might be able to picture this. Imagine a batter has had a miserable day at the plate. When the umpire calls yet another strike that the hitter was convinced was outside the strike zone, the hitter mutters something as he turns his back to the umpire, but of course he meant for the umpire to hear it, and the umpire warns the batter to cool it. Still outside the batter's box, the hitter takes a few practice swings as he mutters something he doesn't want the umpire to hear. But reading the lips of his batter, the manager springs out of the dugout, calling to the umpire to ask a question. Of course, the manager doesn't really have a question for the umpire. He just wants to give his batter an extra moment to cool down. Simply by coming to the plate, the manager is signaling to the batter to let it go. And by speaking to the umpire, the manager is taking the umpire's attention away from the disgruntled hitter, offering some calming words of understanding and quite possibly, of course, sparing the player from being thrown out of the game. In this moment, the manager is filling the role of an intercessor. He's stepping in to resolve a dispute. He's trying to satisfy a powerful demand for justice while protecting the vulnerable party. In that moment, the manager is saving the player. Well, Moses was for the Israelite people what that baseball manager was to his disgruntled batter. You'll see what I mean as I wrap up this summer sermon series on the stories of Moses. Today we consider another of the famous or infamous stories of the Israelites on their 40-year wilderness pilgrimage. Now, as we heard, God had called Moses to the summit of Mount Sinai, and there over an extended period, 40 days, the Bible says, there God gave Moses instructions about creating a portable worship tent and everything that it should contain. God also gave Moses two stone tablets containing the laws that God had issued for the people. Yes, the Ten Commandments. But Moses was gone so long that the Israelite people at the foot of the mountain, they grew restless. They wondered if they'd been abandoned by Moses and by God. They cornered Aaron, the brother of Moses. They convinced Aaron to make for them something that they could worship, a calf made of gold. And when he did, they pledged their allegiance to the golden calf. And then they celebrated. According to the Bible, they partied with reckless abandon. When I read that verse, I picture the images we saw earlier this year of COVID-19 spring break parties on the beaches of Florida and elsewhere, partying with reckless abandon. Well, God noticed the partying. And God was not pleased. After all I've done for them, leave me alone. I'm so angry with them. Let me fume and burn to work out my anger before I destroy them. Well, remarkably, Moses does not abide by God's request. Moses does not leave God alone. Instead, Moses attempts to intercede. Yes, after all you've done for them, are you sure you want to destroy them? That would just give other nations reason to doubt your power and trustworthiness. Lord, remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. These are some of your stars. And because Moses interceded, because Moses appealed to God's reasonableness and reputation, because Moses reminded God of God's own promise, the Bible says that God relented. God's compassion overcame God's anger. God's spirit of mercy overcame God's desire for justice. An Old Testament scholar has written this: the God of Israel is revealed as one who is open to change. God treats the relationship with the people with an integrity that is responsive to what they do and say. Hence, human prayer, in this case intercession, is honored by God as a contribution to a conversation that has the capacity to change future directions for God, for people, for the world. Almighty God came into our world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth to intercede on our behalf. He is the only one who can go to God in his own right and intercede for us, who himself does not need intercession. Jesus puts himself in between God's perfection and our failures. Jesus puts himself between heaven and earth on the cross. Jesus took upon himself even more than the penalty we deserve for falling short of God's hope for us. Jesus saves us by making right the relationship with our God that our sinful nature has disrupted. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The story of Moses not letting God alone, but pleading with God on behalf of the Israelites gone astray. This story suggests to me two things for us to reflect on. First, let's realize that we are forgiven because Jesus Christ intercedes with God on our behalf. Jesus has taken our side, has come to our defense, has pleaded our case before God, asking for mercy rather than punishment, forgiveness rather than condemnation. We are made right with God despite our sinful nature because Jesus intercedes on our behalf. And second, in the work of Jesus on our behalf, I see an invitation, an appeal for us to recognize and to act when we have the opportunity to intercede for the sake of others. So, for example, when we recognize that a child has broken a rule, we can intercede so that the consequence is a learning opportunity rather than merely punishment. Or when a coworker's unintentional mess up has left them open to criticism, accusation, retribution, we can intercede so that they have the opportunity to acknowledge their mistake and make up for the mess up. Or when we see or hear someone being disrespected because of their religion or their ethnic heritage or some other matter that distinguishes them from the majority population, we can intercede to defend and respect their personhood as fellow beloved children of God. Yes, we too are called to intercede for others, to embody the mercy of God and Jesus Christ the Son. The story of the golden calf reminds us that we too find ourselves straying from our intended path. But as Moses interceded for the sake of the Israelites, Jesus intercedes on our behalf. In turn, we are urged to embody Christ's love by recognizing and acting on opportunities to intercede on behalf of others. Amen.